Good morning. An hour ago, I resigned as state's attorney of Cook County. I did this with a heavy heart and a deep commitment to fight these scurrilous charges. I want to be clear, I have never abused my office. I have never traded lighter sentences for financial or sexual favors. At the same time, I need to atone for my personal failings with my wife, Alicia, and our two children. The money used in these transactions was mine, mine alone. No public funds were ever utilized. But I do admit the failure of judgment by private dealings with these women. Alicia and I ask the press, please respect my privacy. It is time to heal. With the love of God, the forgiveness of my family, I know I can rebuild their trust. I want to thank the good people of Chicago. It's been an honor to serve. And I pray one day, I may serve you again. Thank you.
Are you going to involve a prostitute, sir?
Set up with the Tribune.
Absolutely not.
We're not doing any more interviews. I want you to cancel all of that.
Tell Channel 2 we don't have a comment at the present time. Don't be emphatic and question the authenticity of the statement.
Excuse me, isn't the staff meeting at 9:30?
You're in the wrong conference room. It's up one floor.
Of full-service firms, and I don't think I need to remind you what that'll do to your year-end bonuses. Anyway, Schiffer and Marks fired their last firm because they took their eye off the ball. So, until further notice, your personal lives have been canceled.
So we'll need some of you to help out with the lower-profile client work to free up our top litigators.
Ed, you take the witness prep on highway redistribution. Don, you take a Brighton criminal, and Alicia will take the pro bono. Everyone else, your task is to show Schiffer and Marks our A game. Okay? Let's do this.
Will.
Alicia.
Hey.
I'm sorry I didn't introduce you in there. Everything's moving real fast with this class action.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity. It's a real lifesaver.
No, glad you could come aboard. Hope you're all right with this pro bono. How'd it sound?
Interesting.
Good. Don't be nervous. You worried about the gunshot residue?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Nice ringtone. Who gets that?
Oh, my mother-in-law. My daughter programmed it.
And what's yours?
I don't want to know. So, the gun residue.
Diane, you're briefing Alicia, right? Good. You're in good hands. So let's catch up. Have dinner.
So, Will speaks highly of you. He says you graduated top of your class at Georgetown. When was this? 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you spent 2 years at Crozier, Abrams, and Abbott.
Good firm.
Will says you clocked the highest billable hours there. Why'd you leave?
Well, the kids and Peter's career.
Yeah. Brian, can you get Mrs. Florek the files?
Uh-huh. Sure.
I want you to think of me as a mentor, Alicia. It's the closest thing we have to an old boys' network in this town. Women helping women, okay?
Okay.
When I was starting out, I got one great piece of advice. Men can be lazy, women can't.
And I think that goes double for you. Not only are you coming back to the workplace fairly late, but you have some very prominent baggage. But hey, if she can do it, so can you. Thanks, Brian. Like many law firms, we donate 5% of billable hours to pro bono. Sadly, I'm long past my quota on this one. Jennifer Lewis, 26 years old, taught second grade, accused of killing her ex-husband. Prosecution thought it was a slam dunk, 45 years, but the jury came back last week, deadlocked. Six jurors voted to convict, six not. I'm not even sure why the state attorney is retrying, except he wants justice. He wants to prove himself. So stick with my strategy from the first trial. The police focused on Jennifer so early in the investigation, they never even looked for the carjacker. Deadlock a jury a second time, they'll never retry a third, okay? Okay, our investigator can get you up to speed for the bail hearing at 3. Cormack, I'm ready.
The hearing's today?
Well, we could delay, but that would leave Jennifer incarcerated for another month. Don't worry, you'll be fine. The ASA's not going to argue against a recognizance release. Go. Meeting at 10:30.
Private dealing with these money. Money, sorry. Fine. Fine. Oh, private
funds for every
recent business.
Oh, hey. Let me help you that.
No,
I'm in that way anyway. I'm Carrie, the other new associate.
Oh, right. Alicia.
Yeah, look, I know we should be at each other's throats, but I just want to say I really respect what you're doing here. Raising a family and jumping right back into this. My mom, she's thinking of doing the same thing.
Great.
Yeah, so you're on the pro bono, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I interned last summer at the Innocence Project. My dad's best friend is Barry Sheck, and it was just amazing helping people. Here, they got me out of stiff remarks. I'm sure it'll be challenging, but at the end of the day, what have you really done? Save the corporation a few $1 billion.
You want to trade?
I would, but I guess they have other plans, so.
I'm almost done, Carrie. The last day's on your desk. This is cool.
Looks like we share an assistant, so tell me when I'm hogging her, okay? And let the best man win.
Excuse me?
Let the... Nothing. It's nothing. I... Nothing.
Oops. Don't worry. It's yours. Kalinda Sharma. I'm the in-house.
Oh, the investigator.
You're Peter Florence's wife.
That's right.
I worked with him at the state's attorney's office 3 years. He fired me.
Okay.
So, what do you know?
The client is a second grade school teacher, Jennifer
Lewis.
She was arrested for killing her ex-husband.
Making it look like a botched carjacking. Gunshot residue was found on Jennifer's face and hands. That's why the cops started to think it was a murder disguised as a carjacking. According to them, Jennifer shot her ex-husband and wiped down the gun.
And the motive?
He remarried, wanted custody of the 3-year-old. Witnesses saw them arguing a week before the murder.
Hey, Mom, pick up the phone. Hey, Mom,
sorry,
pick up the phone.
Daughter.
Hey, Mom, pick up.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, Mom. I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to freak out, okay?
Uh-oh.
Forget it. I'll ask Zach.
No. What?
All right, well, some girls had dazzled up with a hooker my age, and it just...
What?
Maybe you'll have to turn that off.
Well, they're playing the tape in the computer lab, and some girls said her dad's a cop, and he said one of the hookers was a teenager.
Okay, first of all, they were all over 20, and second, where's the teacher?
It's no big deal, Mom. Look, I've got homework. I'll talk to you later.
What?
Last time I was in court was 13 years ago.
Wow, I was 12.
Thanks.
Matan, remember from the department Christmas party? You're a Stern Lockhart and Gardner?
Yeah, first day.
Wow. Oh, this is Sandra Pei. She's new. Since Peter. How's he doing, by the way?
Peter? Hi.
Say hello for me, will you? Look at all this. You're going to bury us. I don't know how you do, Alicia. I'd be huddled up in a ball somewhere. Well, back to work. Good luck.
Where's Diane?
Diane asked me to step in for her. Jennifer, I'm Alicia Florek. I'm one of the other lawyers with the firm.
Step in. For how long?
For the retrial.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Diane,
The criminal court of Cook County is now in session. The Honorable Judge Richard Cuesta presiding.
Be seated.
Okay, let's hear it.
Your Honor,
just to refresh your memory, the accused was deemed a flight risk due to an earlier custody hearing when she threatened to run off with her daughter.
And yet, just last week, a jury deadlocked on these murder charges 6-6, Mr. Brody. Now, I know our new state's attorney wants to look tough, but why are you fighting this?
Your Honor,
People are prepared to retry this case right now, Your Honor. If Mrs. Florek is so intent on getting her client out, why doesn't she agree to a speedy trial?
Mrs. Florek?
Yes, Your Honor.
The wife of the esteemed Peter Florek? Your husband and I never quite saw eye to eye, ma'am.
Your Honor.
Mrs. Florek, don't talk. But if the prosecution thinks that this will in some way prejudice me against your client, he is sorely mistaken. Nice try, Matan. So, Ms. Lewis is granted pretrial release with electronic monitoring. She is restricted to temporary housing, attorney's offices, and transit in between. And given that this is a rerun, I'll set the trial date for the 25th. Now, are we all happy? Good.
Thank you. Sure. We had a nice time. Michael talked about missing his daughter. The life we had together. We were driving home and we got a flat. He was getting out to fix it and I saw a red pickup truck. A man came up to Michael. I didn't see the gun. And I saw Michael's face. It was
Do you need to take a break?
No. Just if there was some water.
Sure.
Sonia, we need some water in here.
It's going to be about 5 minutes, but then I've got to do is deco upstairs.
Okay. Tell me when you're done.
You say this man ran to a red pickup truck here and took off in this direction across the parking lot. There's a surveillance camera here, and the prosecution played it to make you look like a liar.
I'm not lying.
But there's no truck on the tape. And that's why you're facing a retrial now and not an acquittal.
I think what Clinda is trying to say, Jennifer, is it possible that you were mistaken and that the car went this way, not that way? Is that your daughter?
They won't let me see her. Michael's parents have custody. What am I going to do?
You're going to take it one day at a time. We got you housing. You're going to go there, take a shower, take a nap. Don't turn on the TV. You like reading? I'm going to get you some books. Fiction is best. You won't feel like it, but put on nice clothes and makeup. Force yourself to. Not for court. For you. It's the superficial things that matter most right now.
Does it ever get easier?
No. But you do get better at it.
What? You identify with too many clients, you burn out.
Why don't you tell me when I do something right?
Okay, sure. You go and interview the jurors, and I'll try to figure out how a surveillance camera can lie.
That's right. I was the jury foreman.
And you don't mind answering a few questions for us, Doctor? It'll help us refine the case for the retrial.
No problem. I don't think you'll need much refining. Your case is very strong, very logical. In fact, I'm not even sure why the other side went to trial. I voted for conviction right from the start.
Good. You mean acquittal?
No, conviction.
But I'm with the defense.
Oh.
She was lying about the pickup truck. She had the gunshot residue on her hands.
Can I ask you how many voted for conviction from the start, sir?
11.
What?
But there was only one holdout, juror number 9. We argued with her for 3 days.
But the judge told the jury, and they deadlocked 6-6.
Yes, well, the judge would only declare us deadlocked if we were evenly split. So some of us agreed to change our vote to not guilty just to get out of there. If it hadn't been for juror number 9, we would have convicted. She didn't convince us. She exhausted us.
No tea for me, Mrs. Dretzky.
Suit yourself.
So the other jurors said you were a holdout, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
They all thought they were so much smarter than me. My vote counted just as much as theirs. Uh-huh. Hmm. What exactly in the defense's case convinced you?
Oh, the whole thing, really. I tend to look at a person and size them up pretty quickly. That lady, I liked her.
The defendant, Jennifer?
No, that lawyer lady. She never put on airs. I like that.
Just so I'm clear, the defense expert argued that the gunshot residue on Jennifer's hands came from the struggle.
Sweet.
Is that why you held out?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just tend to get a feeling.
Don't ask Iris.
Hi, Jackie.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
I was going through the laundry, and I think some of Grace's school clothes you would find inappropriate.
We just moved away. Grace has left all her friends. I need you to go easier on her.
All I said was I could take her shopping and help her find pants that would make her look slimmer.
She's at a perfectly healthy weight. I don't want her to have body image issues.
She'll only have body image issues if she keeps gaining weight.
Alicia.
We'll talk about this when I get home later, okay?
All right.
Bye. You know the new associate, Carrie?
The one in the Brioni? What? I'm observant.
Yes, the one in the Brioni. He said to me, may the best man win. What exactly does he mean by that?
What he means is something I thought we weren't making public.
What?
Look, we only have one associate position open, so we agree to hire 2 applicants and in 6 months decide which one to retain.
So this is a contest between me and Carrie?
It was either that or a cage match. I'm just happy your pro bono's going well.
Visiting him is wrong, so...
I said a visitor. I thought Mom.
I've been busy.
It's good to see you.
I need you to sign some things.
Okay.
We didn't get everything we wanted on the house. Bad market to sell.
I see that.
We'll use most of it for your court costs. The rent will come out of my salary, and the kids are going to have to stay in public school.
How are they? Mother says that she's helping out around the house.
They're good. Grace argues over clothes with her mother, and Zach is using you to make friends at school, which I don't know if that's a healthy thing or something worse.
Using me?
Funny your guy has a skit about you. It's cool, I guess. Oh. Here.
Alicia, I know this has been hard on you, but you have to believe me, I'm innocent of the abuse of office charges.
You think I give a damn about that, Peter? They're playing a tape in Grace's computer lab of you sucking the toes of a hooker. You think I care about the small print in your employment contract?
Come on, I was set.
Oh, come on, Peter, I don't want to talk. I'm not going to fight. I didn't come here.
Mom says you're on a case. Congratulations. The fake carjacking, right? Who's the judge?
Richard Cuesta.
You're kidding. He hates me.
I know.
Visiting hours are now over. Visiting hours are now over.
You know, there was something weird about that case, don't you? The Lewis case? There was a rumor going around that something got buried, pitted.
What?
Evidence or testimony.
I should go.
Hey, listen. Thanks for playing the breadwinner for a while. It's not going to last forever. The lawyers think the appellate court is going to hear my case. If they overturn it, everything goes back to normal.
Peter, it's never going back to normal.
As soon as the cops found gunshot residue on Jennifer's hands, they had their suspect. So what if they pitted everything else?
And what if they didn't? Arguments are cheap.
What's that?
Page one of the crime lab summary I was digging through Discovery. Look at the top corner.
Looks like a staple.
It is a staple.
And that's odd because?
There's no page two. Why do they need a staple if there's no page two?
You think the cops kept something out of the Discovery that pointed to another suspect?
Well, I think either they did, or it would be helpful in court to imply that they did.
2 days away from trial, and you're thinking of dropping the old strategy.
Diane barely convinced a cat lady to acquit.
So, a pickup truck is seen racing through a well-lit, empty parking lot. How is the truck missed by that surveillance camera?
Miss Mark's surveillance tape?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Working. These are better than subpoenas. We just need to see how the surveillance system works, and we'll be out of your hair in 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, down here.
Why did my husband fire you? He accused me of working two jobs.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
See, the computer automatically records the surveillance, marks it with date and time.
Is that the night of the murder?
Yeah. I mean, even if the computer did mismark it, I make an hourly tour of the lot, and I didn't see no pickup truck. Look, that's me, 1103, just before the murder.
Can we get copies of these?
Sure. Lady! Lady!
What?
Give me some discs.
All right. Your machine spit out an extra one. Would you like it?
Oh. Oh, what beautiful children.
Two kids, two grandkids.
Billy, how about those kids?
Is he always so charming?
Oh, he's just a lazy mall cop. He spends half the day surfing porn, and with night shift, he can't get his skinny ass out of his chair. I'm always waking him up in the morning.
Oh, men.
I talked to Peter. He said you dropped by.
I did.
I'm glad. He's hurting in there. He's very brave, but he's hurting. He needs you to forgive him, Alicia.
Jackie,
I spent 15 years doing his laundry, cleaning his house,
never asking a single question because I didn't think I had to. And he took everything I thought we had and he just put it out there for everyone.
You didn't want that. The press...
Oh, Jackie, stop it, please.
Peter wasn't thinking of us. It takes time, Alicia. Give it time.
Any time I have right now is for them.
You want her dead?
Me too. Not quite yet.
So why can't Zach and I just watch ourselves?
Honey, she's only here a couple of hours a day.
A couple of very damaging hours.
You'll heal. And change her ringtone.
Please state your name.
Cindy Lewis.
And you were married to the victim for how long, Mrs. Lewis?
2 years until...
And how would you describe your husband's relationship with his first wife?
Well, most of the time it was fine, friendly even, but after the last custody hearing, Michael was pretty worried about Jennifer.
Objection, Your Honor.
On what grounds?
Hearsay.
Nice try, Mrs. Florrick. I'll allow...
Go ahead, Mrs. Lewis.
He was worried Jennifer was intent on getting sole custody.
Thank you, Mrs. Lewis. Your witness?
Now, Mrs. Lewis, you stated that Michael was worried about Jennifer, yet in the week following...
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
In your testimony, Mrs. Lewis, you claim that Jennifer wanted sole custody, but isn't it true...
Objection.
Sustained. Keep trying, Mrs. Florrick. You'll hit on it.
Mrs. Lewis... Whose idea was it to have dinner?
Jennifer's or Michael's?
Michael's.
So wouldn't that suggest that his attitude had changed?
Objection.
Sustained.
Thank you. Now, Detective Briggs, the defense has referred to three unsolved carjackings in the neighborhood at that time. Are you aware of this?
I am.
So why didn't you consider this incident to be another in that series of carjackings?
First of all, they were all luxury cars, one Lexus and two BMWs. The victim in this crime was driving a 2001 Honda, and there was no clip on the fuel line.
This is what the carjackers did to force the luxury cars over.
That's right.
But in the case of the Honda, the victim pulled over because he had a flat.
Yes, ma'am. There was a nail driven into the front driver tire.
I see. Now, why is this something a carjacker would never do, Detective?
It would defeat the purpose. I mean, how do you steal a car with a flat?
Your witness.
It's not going well, is it? It's early.
Mrs. Clark?
Detective Briggs, what is the pit?
Excuse me?
In police circles, what is the pit?
Objection, Your Honor.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that relevant.
Well, let us see how relevant this becomes, shall we?
Detective?
The pit? The pit is police slang for evidence thought irrelevant at a crime scene.
So when an officer is referring to dropping something in the pit or pitting it, he refers to what?
Excluding it from the crime scene narrative. But that only applies to irrelevant details. It wouldn't exclude pertinent evidence.
Was anything pitted from the Lewis crime
scene? Your Honor, objection!
Evidence is logged in all the time that proves irrelevant to the discovery. It's not an intent to deceive. It's an intent to decipher facts.
We don't even know if it is anything.
And to blame the prosecution for not coming up with every single possible detail.
Okay,
Mrs. Clark. None of this was in the first trial. Is it your intention to pursue a new defense?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel's trying to mislead the jury. She's implying there was police corruption.
Oh, shut up, Matan. Is she right? That's the question. Did you bury something?
We all know what's going on here. Peter Florek was a corrupt and convicted state's attorney. If evidence was buried, he buried it. And now she's benefiting from his knowledge.
Which still leaves you with some pages missing here. I'll give you till Monday to produce them, along with any evidence they reference. Then I'll rule on admissibility. And you, Mrs. Florek, I'm not sure if you're being fed this stuff or you're doing it on your own, but if it's the former, you're walking a very narrow ethical line here. You understand that?
Yes, Your Honor. The directive was simple. Follow the strategy of the first trial. Instead, you're pushing for evidence that might not even help your case.
I interviewed the first jury, and they voted 11-1 to convict.
Excuse me, that's not true. It was evenly split.
No, half the jurors switched their votes when they couldn't get a troubled juror to deliberate. So I used my judgment to change strategies.
And was it your judgment not to update us? She's a junior associate who doesn't think she's a junior associate. Her husband was the state's attorney. She lived in Highland Park. It's not just teaching an old dog new tricks, it's teaching an entitled dog new tricks.
Oh, come on, Diane. The problem is she's catching evidence that you overlooked. I've seen you mentor these women until they start competing with you, and
what?
Then you...
Excuse me? I say we reprimand Alicia and put Carrie in his first chair.
Thank you. It's her, isn't it? Sonia, can you...
Alicia Clark's office. One moment, please. Jennifer, pick up.
Alicia.
Stop.
The pitted evidence. I talked to a friend at the crime lab. Gave me a preview of the evidence.
A preview?
It's dog hair found on the victim's clothes. Cops pitted it because they found dog hair at Michael's residence and thought it was the same.
But it's not?
It's from an Italian greyhound. Neither Michael nor Jennifer had greyhounds. It's also a chemical on the hair, alcohol, a low
lotion for muscle and joint pain.
Not the chemical number?
No, his cell number. I agreed to drink.
So we're looking for an arthritic greyhound owner.
We? I hear you're being bumped to second chair.
When?
End of tomorrow. Carrie's being transitioned in, and he'll go back to the first trial strategy. Wow.
The All-Star point guard is currently suing his ex-girlfriend for damages, hoping the judge can finally determine whether this case was fact or fantasy. You know her simply as Amber, the young woman who brought down bad boy Chicago State's attorney Peter Florek. Though she says she wants to leave the scandal far behind, celebrity call girl Amber Madison has decided to write a memoir about her time with Florek. In this exclusive interview with Inside Edition, Ms.
You really have to work?
Yeah, 10 more minutes.
Zach, I need your computer.
Mom, I just raised my wanted level.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, honey.
When Peter's father was on the Illinois court, he never brought a single case home. Not once.
I was a judge, Jackie. I'm a junior associate.
Zach!
I need you to play these two computers side by side. Can you set up my computer next to yours?
He has her sister. She's still fighting with Grandma.
What is it?
It's video of the night of the murder.
Like Faces of Death? Mom, I've seen worse.
You're adorable.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. Zach, freeze it.
What? What is it?
It's proof.
This is at 11:03, the night of the murder, Mr. North. And that's you making your hourly circuit of the lot, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you saw no pickup truck, no carjacker racing past, nothing the defendant claims she saw.
That's correct.
Thank you. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mrs. Florek.
Can we have the monitors in, please? Thank you.
State's attorney's here.
Now, Mr. North.
They're worried she's getting this stuff from her husband.
There are three images. The middle is the image of the surveillance from the 15th, the night of the murder. And the one over there on the left is image from the 14th, the night before the murder. And the one on the right is from the 16th, the night after the murder. Can you see the dates on those?
Yes, I can.
So, as you said before, there you are, the night of the murder, at 11:03, making your circuit of the lot. And there you are, the night before the murder, and the night after, doing the same thing. It must get old.
No, ma'am. My job doesn't pay as much as yours, but I still love it.
Okay, good. Now, Mr. North, let's fast forward, shall we? 45 minutes, the night of the murder, and there. What do you see?
Nothing.
No? It's right there. Maybe you need to move in a little closer?
Oh, it's a shopping bag. It looks like a shopping bag.
Actually, it is. It's a plastic shopping bag. It was a very windy night that night, and it blew across the lot at 11:40.
Your Honor, objection. What does this have to do with anything?
Beats me. But I'm interested, aren't you, Mr. Brody? Overruled.
Okay, so let's fast forward the other two monitors, the night before the murder and the night after the murder, to the same time code. Here's the 14th and the 16th. What do you see?
I don't know.
I think you do know, sir. Either you have a plastic bag that blows across your lot every night at 11:48, or these are duplicates of the same tape.
No, it is not what it looks like.
I understand, sir. You didn't willfully mislead the police.
Yeah, that's correct.
No, it's just that it gets cold out there, and sometimes you don't make the circuit of the lot.
Yes.
So on the nights that you don't go out, you don't record the actual surveillance image. You set your computer up to duplicate the night before, just in case your manager checks it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Just so I'm clear, there is no recording the night of the murder. And you were never there to see or not see the pickup truck or the carjacker.
I'm sorry. Yes.
No further questions.
So, you're wondering whether demolishing the key prosecution witness didn't just save your ass as first chair. Nice work, by the way.
Thanks.
But was enough for reasonable doubt. You know what hurts you?
Nail in the tire.
Yep. And the old Honda. This doesn't feel like a carjacking. Feels like a murder made to look like a carjacking.
What if I don't fight it?
What, agree that it was just a murder? And the jury needs a suspect.
It's late.
It's like old times, huh? Evidentiary procedure. The mock trial.
You remember that?
How could I forget? Did we lose that one?
Yeah. Hi. Hi. Mrs. Flark, I just want to say congratulations. I heard you did well in court.
Thanks, Sonia. Heading out?
Yeah. I got a breakfast meeting with clients. What?
Something just doesn't seem right. Michael has dinner with his first wife.
Right.
He tells Jennifer he misses her, misses their old life together.
Right.
What does Cindy think about it?
The second wife? Cindy thinks some unhappy thoughts.
Jerry liked her.
Get him not to.
What did you get on Cindy's brother?
These are his employment records.
Good. What about the lab report?
Here. But they're going to object the whole way. You'll need to just string together some implications.
Give a moment. I don't think we've ever met before. I'm Glenn Childs.
We've met.
You know he's using you, don't you? Peter blames me for his downfall. He's using you to get to me.
How do you figure?
Mrs. Flora, please. He told you about the pitted trace evidence. Don't make yourself collateral damage here for your own sake.
Mr. Childs, the day you leaked that sex tape to the press and forced me to shield my children from every cable news station that played it in a 24-hour rotation, that was the day I became collateral damage. You're worried about my husband, Mr. Childs. You've obviously never made a woman angry before. But good luck in court. Mrs. Lewis, did you and the deceased sign a prenuptial agreement?
Yes, for tax purposes.
So, if the deceased were to divorce you, let's say, in order to reunite with his first wife...
Objection.
Sustained.
If the deceased were to divorce you, you would be cut off from his premarital savings, is that correct?
Objection. Relevant.
Sustained. Moving along, Mrs. Florek.
Mrs. Lewis, you stated in your testimony that you were in Miami at the time of the shooting, visiting family, so the police never suspected or questioned you.
Of the murder? No, of course not.
What about your brother?
Objection, Your Honor. Come on, this whole line of questioning is a smoke screen.
Mr. Brody, why don't we wait for a whiff of smoke before we call it a screen, please? I'll allow.
The police never questioned your brother, isn't that correct, Mrs. Lewis?
Well, they had no reason to.
Because he lived in Miami?
Because Danny had nothing to do with this.
Mrs. Lewis, the judge has admitted into evidence the buried... Strike that. The previously unreleased trace evidence. He has also admitted into evidence the crime lab's finding that these greyhound hairs were covered in a chemical compound called alkoectolin. Have you heard of this?
Sorry, the chemical? No.
No, neither had I. It is a lotion. It is a lotion that is used at dog racing tracks.
Objection, not in evidence.
Sustained. And you might want to stay standing, Mr. Brody. I have a feeling we're nearing your smoke screen.
Mrs. Lewis, isn't it a fact that a year ago, at the time of the murder, your brother worked at a dog track?
Objection!
Sustained.
No further questions. You're not just making this up.
Come on, it's a stern law cop tradition. Your first jury trial, shot of tequila. Let's go. Okay. Yeah, I just made that up. Sounded good though, didn't it?
How long do you think they'll stay out?
Oh, I stopped guessing about juries a while ago. How long were they out with your husband?
6 hours.
Yeah? You know what I don't get? Why you stood by him. I would have stuck a knife in his heart.
I always thought I would, too. When I heard about those other scandals, the other wives, I thought, how can you allow yourself to be used like that? And then it happened. And I was... unprepared. Hello? Yes. Thanks.
Jury's in?
Well, Mrs. Florek, Chicago Homicide has decided to reopen its investigation into the murder of Michael Lewis. Detective Briggs, doing an admirable amount of due diligence, has confirmed that Cindy Lewis's brother, Danny, had access to his employer's pickup truck the week of the murder. And the dog hairs admitted into evidence match those found at his workplace. So our state's attorney, in his radiant wisdom, has decided to withdraw the charges against your client and pursue a case against Mrs. Lewis's brother. Isn't that right, Mr. Brody? All I need is a yes or no.
Yes.
Good. Then we're done here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi, Jackie. No, it just went a little late, that's all.
I made a pot roast, and I was wondering if you were coming home for dinner.
What? What did I say?
Nothing. It's just that's what I always used to say to Peter.
Are you there?
Yeah. I just need to pick up a few things, and I'll be home soon.
All right.
Jackie, I don't know if I said this, but thank you for stepping up.
Of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
I'll see you soon.
All right, then.
Bye. Oh, hey, sorry. I didn't know you were here.
Hi.
It's a little office token. You did great.
Thanks. I did, didn't I?
Oh, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
You've been made my second chair in the civil case. I'll see you tomorrow at 9:30, staff meeting.
I'll be there.
Think we have a really good shot at overturning this, and they're going to make an official statement tomorrow. But I just wanted to tell you first. I'll see you soon. I love you.
Stay tuned for scenes from our next episode.